So you'll notice there's a table prepared right here as we walk through this message. And as we was doing worship, it was just like the song fit, the song fit, the song fit. I got to pick one, but Robin did a fantastic job listening to the Holy Spirit, and it just all lines up. And then Lance gets a word, and I came to the altar, and I felt the weight fall off of me. I felt like like the dove came down upon you. So I like, this is all you, or this is all you, Lord. Today's message is going to get a little deep if you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. It is for the church. It's not for anybody outside these doors. This is for the church. When Paul would write letters, he wrote them to what? To the church, all right? Because they were doing what they were doing, and he needed to do some corrections and stuff like that. I might get a little personal today, sharing a little bit more about my life and my walk, and how the Lord, I wouldn't say broke me, but he broke me, and you learn how to surrender better to a degree. But I want to pray, and then I'll just get myself out of the way. So, Father God, I just ask for the hearts here to be good soil. So, Father God, we ask for those hearts that the enemy cannot touch them, that this word that comes forth, Father, that it penetrates their minds, their hearts, and then surrender comes, Father, that they come to the table where they can be closer to you and that you do all the work in them. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, I want to open up with Isaiah 55. I'm ringing a little bit, Trev. Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 4. Everyone who thirsts comes to the waters, and you have no money. Come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. So you're reading that. He's telling you, we're spending money, we're wasting things, but he's telling you to come to what really satisfies you. And I know I, in my life, have thrown away this and thrown away that, spent money on frivolous, stupid things with no heavenly reward for it whatsoever. So I look back at that. I'll get a little deeper in that here in a minute. I got saved at 7 years old. Good story. I had a best friend. I know I've shared some of this with some of you in the past. There's literally maybe three people in this congregation that know me. You know what I mean? Maybe three, all right? I would include Darlene, my mom, and my wife. And there's people that you have in your circle that you let know you to a certain degree, but we're protective of letting people in our circle. And there's reasons why that, because we've been hurt, all right? You spoke of church hurt. I know it's been going something around as well. So you try to keep your circle small. And that's just the way I've operated for quite some time. I don't remember one blink of my 20s. I remember a kid being born, and I don't remember anything left of 20s. It was work. It was sports. It was work again. I would go to church, raise my kids in church. I was a youth leader at First Baptist of North Terre Haute and Maryland. And it's all a blink of an eye. It's like a blur. I can't remember like any big defining moments of my 20s, right? Not saying good things didn't happen, but there's probably some bad things that happened, poor decisions, all these other things. Stay with me on this. But my walk through life for to 2010, I moved back to Indiana. I know I've shared this testimony with some people before. I had a day with the Lord, and he called me by name, and he told me what my purpose was. So I had to make a hard decision and move back. David Fleetwood led me. David Fleetwood ended up getting pulled away with cancer, moved to Texas, and passed away. I felt empty. I felt lost. Who's going to step up? Went to some classes at Maryland. Bill Kohler taught some spiritual gift classes. And anybody that knows Connie Elkins, anybody heard of her name? Okay, people in the church would have known around. She's been around a while. She gave me a prophetic word one night. We were praying for each other, and she said, let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Who's a better teacher? All right? Me and Danielle were just talking last night. I'm opening books, and it's like it's got some good testimonies in it. I open another book. It's like I start just tossing books to the side. It's like, there's your teacher. Like, let him be your teacher to guide you. And let me tell you, I'm working on something right now, and I'm just in the beginning of it. I'm tapping into something, and I'm letting that be the guide. And when I'm done, I'll share it. It'll probably be a good sermon. I don't know how long it's going to take. I want to know why healing's not happening in some things. And I know me and you've shared a little bit. But that's kind of where I'm going, and I'm going to find it, and I'm going to find it in here, not somebody over here that's wrote a book about it and it had some success. Somebody wrote a book about it here and had some success. I want the Holy Spirit to tell me, and I think it's because we feel dirty. I really do. There's a lot of other things. There's doubt and unbelief and all those things, but that's getting me off my subject and my title for today of coming to the table. But I'm going to come to the table. And Psalms 23, verse 5. What was that song we just sang? He prepares a table before me. In front of what? He anoints my head with what? And my cup runs over. And this is how I fight my battles. Sometimes I try to fight my battles on my own strength, and guess what? I lose. All right. So I would say when I was 7, I had no idea what was going on. I just knew I had a new best friend. Yes, Butte, Montana. My mom sent me on a short bus to go to a Baptist church. I would say 21-ish. That's probably why it sticks out. Taylor was born, had some marital problems, rededicated my life at that moment with Paul Carey. Everybody knows Paul Carey, great man of God. First Baptist Church in North Terre Haute. Went through some seasons there for a while, thanks to Dick and Joy Dragon. The book of Revelation, how it just draws you and you have interest and you like start studying it. And Maryland had a service that aimed more towards my age. And it was called Exchange. The music served me better, at least to my ear, right? The kids service was a little bit better. Vicky Morello, I would say, was a great mentor in youth ministry. She taught you how to do so many things the right way and how to protect yourself from the things that people might look at you the wrong way, like standing in the doorway where you could always be seen, no matter what. Anybody getting ready to train up Eli, these are the little things that gotta be planted in your mind so nobody can say something. There's cameras, and plus, you just gotta protect yourself. There's a salvation scripture, at least to me, and it's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and him with me. How many of you have that knock on the door? I think everybody here is saved, right? All right. We've had that knock, and we've let him in. We were reading that Revival Terry book, and most things aren't happening because Jesus is out there knocking to come in. And we're wanting to know why some churches aren't seeing things happen. It's because he's standing out there, not allowed in, right? And that, now put that, this being you, and he's still knocking on the door trying to allow things for you to allow things for him to come do in your life. In salvation, you can go back. I remember what the lady looked like who led me to the Lord. I remember the church. I remember all that. It was probably the best day of my life, right? 1980, right? Many, 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 many years ago, so 1980. And you remember a defining moment in your life like that. And so I had a new best friend, and I had no idea that Holy Spirit is starting a work in you and me. And what that starts, what he starts, he will finish, right? That's what the word says. Whatever he starts, he will finish. And I apply that now in the last 16 years, and I grab that promise and continue it. And it is a marathon, like Danielle opened up this morning. I think I started running as fast as I could. That's a good way to get burned out, right? I am never going to get burned out. I have seen too much. I have felt too much. I have heard too much. I'm not getting burned out. I know who he is. I know who's on the throne. I know who I am as a child of God now. And there's no running. There's just facing that enemy. Like as in Ephesians tells you to stand, withstand, and stand again. It's time to do that right now. We are in the end times, which I know you guys are seeing that all over the news if you pay attention to it. I really don't watch it. But when you know that you're in a covenant promise with him, Kineo year one students and year two students, three students would know this, the blood covenant, how powerful that blood is, right? We need to preach more about the blood because of the blood, that because of the covenant, you now have enemies, right? Do we all know we have enemies? I'm gonna touch a little bit about a few of those today. All right, Genesis 4:7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. It's a good scripture, okay? As you're getting that knock on the door, you've allowed Jesus to enter your home, to enter you as you're now his temple. Where Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. I love how the Amplified puts this verse. If you do well, believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? So it's telling you if you're doing all the right things because you're doing it and you're applying the word to your life, will you not be accepted? Right? So you're going to be accepted by doing all these right things. You may not see the results. That's where patience comes. That's where trust comes. That's where more fruit of the Spirit come. It says, trust him, and if you do not do well, it means you ignore my instructions. Warning, the little horn's going off. Sin crouches at the door. It desires to break fellowship with me. It desires to overpower you. But through me, Jesus, the word, you can and must master it. That's kind of where I want to go today. We need to master some things in our life. So I have a couple questions, and I'll have a few here and there. Would you guys all agree that we have addictive personalities? Yes, we have addictive personalities. And would you all believe, and I know this is said over and over again here, but it's something you guys need to like wear around your heart. Do you believe we can be overcomers? That's what the word says. So if we're applying that word, we're gonna overcome these things in our life. So we're gonna take a little journey through my life. Like I said, I moved back here in 2010 and I'm learning as I go. I am nowhere near where he wants me. I'm right where he wants me, but I'm nowhere near where I want to be, right? And I'm learning this. Obedience is the key, all right? Obedience opens doors. Jesus is the master key, and the more I'm obedient, the more things he is opening for me, and he's opening more and more and more. I love it. I got some things I'll confess here in a second when I get to that point. Matthew 28:17-18. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. This is the resurrected Jesus. The resurrected Jesus. They go meet him at the mountain. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But there's 11, because it says the 11. But some doubted. How many of you suffer from some doubt? Let's be honest, all right? All of us have some doubt. All right, James tells us about doubt. I knew I wouldn't remember it, but doubt is hesitation or divided mind regarding God's promises. If he'll do it there, why wouldn't he do it again? We're doubting that he'll do it again, and I think that's why some things aren't happening in the church, okay? Because is it doubt, will he do it again? Yes, he'll do it again. It's his will to heal, okay? And we're seeing that. But I'm coming back to that because I've had some doubt, like, and I hate that. And so I brought it to the table, all right? And he's working it through me. I'm spending time with him. I haven't got the answer for that for you yet. I can just tell you, there are things in life where you hesitate, and that's doubt, okay? Disobedience is the enemy of obedience. I know we've all heard that before, right? Okay. Delayed obedience is disobedience. There are things that he told me to do way back in 2010 that took me 3 or 4 or 5 years to do, all right? Is he going to forgive me for that? Yes, he already has. And this is what I learned during that time. I was like, I'm coming to the table. My wife took a picture a long time ago. You should have seen me yesterday. I didn't come to work day. I had things sprawled out everywhere. trying to put all this together. I have notebooks from 6 months ago, text message I've sent myself because I knew eventually when I put all this together, I'm going to have to go pull it all. Saved a bunch of videos. Me and Eli share reels all day long, and I was going to pull a few of those to try to use. Didn't even look at them. I put all this stuff together, so I had a TV tray, my laptop carrier, my laptop, books, and like 7 different notebooks. And I knew where they were all at. I just had to go pull it to put it all together. Because I write it down wherever I'm at, or I'll text myself. But at prison, you don't have your phone with you because you can't. And so you kind of write it down. I've learned to email myself as well. I'm weird, I know. But here's what I've learned. You can't say you're hungry, because I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the word, all right? You can't say you're hungry while you're sitting at the table and still snacking on sin. Okay? You can't. That one should hurt, right? That one should hit right there in the heart. You can't say you're hungry to God, for God, but keep snacking on sin. We want these things to happen. We want to see these miracles and all this other stuff, so we got to quit snacking on the sin in our life. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Says, beware of false prophets. These are some of the books I'm reading and thrown to the side. Who came to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from their thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So here's what I'm leading. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit today. I know it's been taught 1,000 different ways. This way is going to be a little bit different. There was, and I know my mom will remember this. I don't know if Danielle would. Do you remember when I moved back in 2010, I got a modular. It had a tree in the front yard. And that tree was just like, you're just mowing around it. And I was like, no leaves, nothing. Okay, 2010, I know I got called. I'm doing these things. I'm still sinning. I'm still smoking cigarettes, doing all kinds of stuff outside of marriage, 2010. And then I came to this halt in my life where I had to hit my face and repent. And that took about 3 years, all right? You're going to find out we all have secrets. We all have that secret room that we try to hide things and do things with. But about that time where that surrender came, I called my mom one day. I was like, that tree in the front yard, it's popping up apples. And the Lord spoke to me, you're bearing fruit. Took 3 years, but you're bearing fruit. And I like, that's one of those miraculous things. And I was like, well, maybe there's just an apple tree that bears fruit every 3 years. I don't know. Trying to brush it off with doubt. Like, I know what the Lord said. Well, you're bearing some fruit. I'm like, well, what fruit is that? The fruit of the Spirit is an outward evidence of a spiritual life. A lot of people call themselves Christians, but not everyone bears fruit. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, your soul, your spirit is fighting your flesh. There's so much temptation out there, especially in our time. But Paul still wrote to the Corinthians. He still wrote to all these other churches. They were going through the same stuff, right? It's been going on for 2,000 plus years in the church, right? I don't know what else to say, but if we don't address it, it's not going to go away. We're not going to see the things that we want to see because we really are unclean at sometimes, right? And it's in our hearts and in our minds. I'm sorry to throw that out there, but sin is a lust of the flesh. It's disobedience to the word of God. And early on in my walk, I went to Trace Diaz, and this verse really, really just like hit me. And it's kind of a life verse. I've got it written in my first Bible. I started like highlighting and writing it all in. But it's Joshua 1:8. It tells us to meditate on the word day and night so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And it says, he will make your ways prosperous and you will have good success. So if I'm meditating on the word, I know what's right, I know what's wrong. I think I've known what was right, I know what was wrong since I was 7 years old, all right? But that desire of the flesh would pull me over here, that desire of the flesh or that influence that I would let people influence me in high school, go get drunk. Never was a drug addict, never, like, maybe tried marijuana a few times in my life. It did nothing for me, so it was no big deal. How many of you want to have a prosperous life? Amen? You got to apply the word. That was his word for me this year. Apply the word. Application, application, application. If you're applying the word, he has to do his part. We have to trust him to do his part, and we need to produce good fruit. Okay? Have you seen those plastic fruits? I was going to go buy some, and have you seen them? The bananas, the apples, and the oranges. You know, some people wear them around. Those fake fruits, like, they're pretending to have joy, they're pretending to have love, they're pretending to have peace, they're pretending to have patience. But you will know them by their fruit, right? Because when a trial comes, they're the first person that's angry. They're the first person to retaliate. They're the first person to not show love. You see that when trials come, you really know if you're bearing fruit, all right? And I'm going to speak on 4 different trials as I walk through this today. Galatians 5:23. How many of you can name the fruit? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And he prepared this table so you know when you're walking with the Lord, the enemy's going to challenge you, isn't he? The enemy is going to challenge you because he hates you. Let's be honest, he hates you. I had the youth, as I lay some of these out there, I don't remember who did what, but one of them made faithfulness. I think that's Jarrell. Is it Jarrell at yours? Are you kindness? Okay. I know this is Braxton's because he misspelled joy and then started over. This is Pooh's. Patience. Peace, that is mine. Xylee made love, and Stefan made self-control. We're missing a few, but I think you'll get the point when we come across it all. Proverbs 6:20-23. It says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother, but bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck, and when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And then when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs, instructions are the way of life. So what's it telling you to do? It's telling you to wear it as a necklace and bind it around your neck. That was probably not a good idea. It binds wisdom. As you dive into the word, you spend more time at the table. You bind wisdom and knowledge to your heart. You know how to react when situations come forth. You're starting to understand the fruit. And you know the fruit is singular. There's a reason why Paul did that. There's a deeper meaning to it. I would like Pike to go on a real long tangent about it, but there's a deeper meaning behind that. And I've got a book that if you guys want a copy, I will email it to you because I downloaded it, that goes into that deeper meaning. I bought that book, thought I was going to use it for some of this, and now it's just for later, I guess. It was pretty good. You ever heard, taste and see the Lord is good? What about have ears to hear and eyes to see? Okay. you're in your Christian walk and you get that. What do you guys usually do? Either the doorbell's going off or somebody's knocking at the door. You run. You have to open the door. Why? They're curious, right? What's that old saying? Curiosity killed the cat. There's more to that too. I was like, I'm not going there. But curiosity killed the cat because you want to know who's there. Like when your phone's ringing, thanks to caller ID, you can ignore so many calls now because most of them are spam. You know that I could get like a $75,000 loan about 10 times a day? Yeah, I could save money on my car insurance too. Yeah, I get 10 of those a day. Keep telling them to take them off the call list. And now my name's George or somebody else, and I have timeshare somewhere they want to talk about. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Okay, so we're going to walk through each one of them and agree or disagree. Love is selfless, unconditional, love that acts on behalf of others' best interest, such as forgiving. Joy is a deep abiding happiness and delight in knowing God is independent of external circumstances. Peace is unshakable inner calm and harmony with God and others, trust in God during uncertainty. Kindness, a warm, compassionate disposition that seeks to help and uplift others, treating them with tenderness. Patience, the ability to endure difficult people, trials, or delays without complaining. That's a hard one. Faithfulness, dependability, loyalty, or trustworthiness in fulfilling commitments. Gentleness, strength under control. Doesn't mean you're weak. It's strength under control, responding with grace, humility, and compassion rather than anger. Goodness is moral excellence, integrity in action, actively reflecting God's character and doing what is right no matter what. Self-control, mastery over one's desire, passions, and impulses, enabling the ability to say no to temptation. So now you know the good stuff, and our flesh is battling our spirit. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the enemies, because there's enemies. The works of the flesh are Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I know we have talked about these up here before, and it's not an exhaustive list. You could keep going and going and going. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. Back up a sec, murders. Do you know how you speak? You could kill somebody with your words. Yes, you could kill somebody with your words. Learn that in Kineo. I know I've heard it before. But you insult somebody in public, you murdered them in public, right? You did. So you got to watch. We as a church, this message is for the church, are to speak and edify and build up, all right? We're going to screw up, right? We help you in love. We help you in love, not, hey, did you know? We have to do it in love so we can correct in love. There's three ways to go about it in Scripture. And if they don't take the corrective, then you just boot them out. So as you study, it's not an exhaustive list. Don't really need to know all of those things, but murder, drunkenness, reveries, and like which of you tell you before, and just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things, this is a key, will not inherit the kingdom of God. There was I don't get all my news from Facebook, but there was a testimony of a lady who was in the hospital. She'd coded, and she went. An angel came and grabbed her. She says she remembers the gate slamming behind her. And in that gate, she knew she just went into the entrance of hell. He put her in a teardrop-shaped cage. Her skin started melting. Her eyes melted off. She could still see. Her ears fell off. She could still hear. And the heat was melting her skin off of her. She could hear over here screams, here screams, here screams, here screams, here screams. She said, I attended church. I did this for the church. I did this for the church. I did this for the church. And God, why am I here? And the Lord spoke to her, you have unforgiveness in your heart. You think the word's true. So we're not showing love if we're harboring unforgiveness, because if that lady's testimony is real, which I'll take it what it is, I believe her, because that's what the word says. If you have any of those things that we just read, it says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's time to straighten up and get to the table and find out. If this was me preaching to me like 7 or 8 years ago or 10 years ago, I'd be like, I got time. The enemy of the fruit, when I say love, what's the enemy? Hate, indifference, fear, selfishness. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear, while lack of love is portrayed as a refusal to act in another one's best interest. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, souls, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. This is right here. While lack of love is portrayed as a refusal to act in another's best interest. There will be people to use you. They will try. Discernment will come. And then you know what to do with when you get that discernment. What's the enemy of joy? Depression, sadness, sorrow, misery, despair, trial, tribulation. What's the enemy of peace? Chaos, inner war, conflict, hostility. Been at war. Patience. Impatience. I'll stop right there. I prayed for that one. I think I'm walking in a little bit. Patience is not inactivity. It's worshipful restraint. It involves persistent trust. When I get to some knocking on the door, patience was a struggle for me. I am a person that was of impulse, like boom, I'm going right there, and consequences will happen later. Boom, impulse, consequences are later. I'll get to it. Kindness, meanness, harshness, hostility, the opposite of goodness. Wickedness, what about faithfulness? Unfaithfulness, inaccuracy, disloyalty, lying, deceiving, gentleness, harsh, rash, falseness, anger, selfishness, self-control, loss of control, disobedience, sin, lust, lack of discipline. So there are 8 fruits that are his. His love, his joy, his peace, his kindness, his patience, his faithfulness, his gentleness, and his goodness. Which one do you control? This one is yours. Self-control. It is yours. You have to master. I think self-control is the one that holds all the rest together. We could argue about that because it's love, but you can't have all of that without self-control. Okay? I don't know if you've ever heard it preached that way. Self-control is the one and only one that you control. And what's obedience do? It opens doors to talents you never knew you had. It opens the doors to talents that somebody's probably more talented, but you're more obedient to do that. You go back it's almost been 4 years, and I've started this teaching gig, and I love it, you know? I love it. The students respond because you treat them as a neighbor, not as an inmate. There's such good things happening there. Blessings keep coming in. Good words come in because you're just going there and doing your job and you're being obedient. And I'm applying the word. I'm going to get my tutor saved. I'm really working on him. My other tutor goes home Tuesday. I really did a work in him. I thank God for the time I've had to spend with him for the last 8 months. He has turned his life around. He lives in the word. If he's not at school, he's in the bunkhouse because there's too much noise. He puts his headphones on and he comes with new questions every day. And that's just been an awesome to do that. I couldn't do that at my old job. All right. So I'm applying the word. You send that word forth and you know that through Scripture, it will not return to him void. So if you're sitting the word, you're going to trust till it comes to fruition. You're developing patience and you're waiting for things to happen. So when I was 7, I invited Jesus in. We dined together. He gave me love, he gave me joy, he gave me peace, and he gave me this word.
John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Amen. Set it down. Me and Jesus sat at the table. We spent a little time together. I still want control. So I sent him off. I gave him a little bit of space in the house. I'll call him when I need him. He's in a box. Y'all been there? Okay. It's dark. Nighttime. I hear this on the door. What's crouching out there? Sin. Sin's out there. It's crouched at the door. And curiosity. Give into it. This doesn't have to be one day. This could be a season of your life. Okay? A day of despair. Was not patient all day. Made some poor decisions. Made some really poor financial decisions. Bad investments. The enemy really got one over on me. He really did. He got one over on me. Then I storm home. What do? I come to the table. I'm yelling at Jesus. Logan plays a good Jesus. Logan plays a good Jesus. He has nothing to say but what he told me the first time.
I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Thank you. We cry together. He comforts me. I know I've read the Bible. His joy will be new tomorrow. And I give him access to another room. We're going to talk about our heart. I know there's 9 fruits, but there's 4 chambers of your heart. So for the sake of time, I'm only going to go through about 4 of these. This is where you can plug and play with the other 9, okay? What did I just say I was that? I had a really, really impatient day. And patience is enduring. It's trusting no matter what. So I have a question. What would deeper abiding in Christ really look like? Like if we're really going to abide in Christ, what would it look like? Some of this drama going on in our lives wouldn't be there, right? Some of the despair, the impatience, the enemy. Because I'm at the table that he prepared for me in the presence of my enemy. If I come to it, got to come to it, all right? So there goes a season in my life. I feel, and I will claim, I'm pretty patient now. When situations arise, I'm not the first one to outburst. There's still some testing of that, but I would say I'm about 90% there most of the time. I see the bigger picture, thanks to Danielle in most cases, and she keeps me grounded. So I went through that season in my life, all right? But guess what? There's a knock at the door. Curiosity, I opened it. Guess what hits? Chaos, war, conflict, hostility, and not animosity. The enemy came for my peace. He came for my peace. I'd had to learn the word no because I was overbooked for about anything and everything in life. My children suffered a little bit. I was like not getting home till 10 o'clock at night and had to go up and do the same thing the next day. You had to learn the word no. Was doing things that probably weren't very Christian at the time. And I'm in church. Okay? That brought chaos. That brought war. That brought conflict. So the enemy came for my peace. I'm feeling defeated. I forgot to be patient, which I thought I had already taken care of. So there's a few times I forgot to be patient. And that's going to happen. We're going to fall, right? None of us are perfect. Still not an excuse. I learned nothing is worth your peace. Not one thing is worth your peace, right? So I have to get along with Jesus, and of course I'm not mature enough yet. I'm still going to blame him. instead of being thankful and enduring, I come back to the table, still not obeying his word. And he says,
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Thanks, sir. Are you getting the point? He tells me to release what's killing your peace so that I can release what will build your purpose. Let me repeat that. He tells me to release what's killing my peace so I can release what will build your purpose. Okay? You been there? Okay. If you're not there, there's time today. I give him more access now. He's got more access. So me and Jesus are doing good. Me and Holy Spirit are doing good. And I get this question, what recent storm exposed areas where fear rather than peace has ruled your heart? I'll repeat that one more time. What recent storm exposed areas where fear rather than peace has ruled your heart? Got that season done. Guess what? There's a knock at the door. I'm curious. Who is it? Worst day of my life. Probably the worst season of my life. Stole my joy. Stole my love. Sadness all the time. Feels like trial after trial, tribulation after tribulation. Do you know what it took to get past that part? On your face. Humble before him. It was table, altar, whatever you want to call it. On your face before him. Crying and now understanding this is why you do this and this is why you have to do this. You remember to come to the table quicker. You remember not to give up your peace. You remember to be patient and trust in the process of where he's taking you throughout life. You repent again. I had my day in 2010 in my seat in my living room in Clarksville, Tennessee, but it was time to come back to that. Back to that. I went to Darlene's. I know I've said this before. I had a good couple hours cry at Darlene's, and not only on my face, but I had a couple hours with Darlene, and she showed love, which was great, and I still appreciate that. One of the highlights of my Christian walk. What have you have given up by now? Would you? Like, some people get all this stuff. They find out the Christian walk's hard. That's why so many people give up faith. They can't endure the battle. It's like too hard, but it's not that hard. All you gotta do is fight, all right? All right, all you gotta do is fight. The song said, he's got you to the left, got you to the right, front and back. His angels stand guard around you. You start knowing the word and how to talk the word and pray for warrior angels to come and do these things. I mean, he's gonna fight your battles. And this is how I fight my battles. I forget sometimes back then that I needed my Bible spread out. I needed notebooks. Some of the stuff came from notebooks from a minute ago, right? These are things you remind yourself of. These are the table moments of your first love that you go back and he reminds you of these things. Go grab this, go grab that. You see a good quote, screenshot it or text yourself. It will come in handy one of these days. But it's hard to endure, isn't it? Sometimes life's hard, but it's a must. It's a must. James 1, 2 through 4 says, we are learning to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So I had this day of chaos, this day of absolute, I want to say one of the worst days that I can remember, but I overcame it because I went to the table. Hi, Jesus.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
How many times you read a verse and you skip over something? right? That part where it was in the beginning of Matthew where they had doubt. I can't tell you how many times I've read that and just didn't catch that little, every dot and tittle has meaning, all right? So you're applying that you're the branch, he's the vine, you're the branches, and if I'm connected, these things are gonna happen. But how many of you try to do things on your own strength, right? You can sit there, no fruit's gonna come, like a toddler's trying to get their way. You ever seen, what would happen if I stapled apples to a tree or nailed apples to a tree? Are they gonna be good fruit? No, that's some of that fake fruit. And you're trying to do things on your own strength. So this time coming to the table, I unloaded everything. Like, I feel free, but I still hold on to control a little bit, just a little bit, all right? He tells you the absence of fruit does not call for despair, but for return. God's relentless love does not shame the unfruitful. It invites them back into communion. The enemy has told some of us lies that we've done this and we can't come back to the table. That's a lie. You can come back to the table. You can come back to the table over and over and over again. I know I can show 16 years of doing the same thing. I don't have to come and repent as much because I don't sin as much. You hear me? Because I've had and built that relationship. I know the word. If I apply this to my life, this is going to happen. And sometimes it's negative. Well, so I catch myself. No, can't do that. Like, thank you, Lord, for the growth. Thank you, Lord, for the growth in that. And I'm far from perfect, so I'm not even claiming to be. Sometimes I'd say I'm the worst person in the world, but that's not really true either, because I've seen worse. Okay. He reminds you of his word, because I just told you the enemy came to steal my joy. And then Nehemiah reminds you in 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is what? Is your strength. You give him access to more. So Jesus now has three rooms in my house. Love and joy are planted. They're growing. I'm sowing love and joy in some areas on my own strength. What's going to happen? I'm not gonna, possibly wearing fake fruit, right? It's in the church. People wearing fake fruit all over the place in the church. So new day starts, new season. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling Christian. I'm feeling connected. And I have this question. How might your steadfast joy become a testimony to those watching you suffer? I go to a Tuesday night Bible study with Jim Pond and a bunch of other brothers in Christ. It's a great fellowship. We do make fun of each other a lot, to be honest. That's been ball and good fun. And when I got fired from my job, we're gonna help you through this, but we wouldn't wanna be you. And they said that in some other situations, that we're gonna help you through this, but we wouldn't wanna be you. But they're helpful in the suffering. Like Jim, I know Sonny has seen it. You guys seen the bigger picture. You're going to overcome. You're going to overcome. And when you're in that, you don't see it because you don't want to. You want to be mad. You want to be angry. Why, God, why? All those things. I'm feeling better in life. Knock at the door. It's time to deal with the big one. Temptation overload. Okay? Self-control. This is the one fruit that depends on you. There was a study done. Men, please stand up. This is the whole purpose of today's message. In the church, 6 out of 10 men in the church have a lust issue and lack of self-control. Men, please sit down. Women, please stand up. You're not a woman. 4 out of 10 women have a lust issue and lack of self-control inside the church. You may sit down. That is 60% of the men we're putting trust in to help fellowship with us and grow us that are living something secret. Okay? Women, same thing. 40% of you. I wasn't going to point any out. I wasn't going to count. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. 4 of you. 6 of you. I'm not going to do that. That's Holy Spirit's job to do the convicting. Okay? Lust falls into self-control. It is an enemy of the spirit, all right? It is why we're lacking growth. I want to spend time here because you can't sit at tables where Jesus would have flipped them over, okay? Where's my boy that wore that shirt a couple weeks ago? Yes. You can't sit at tables where Jesus would have flipped them over, okay? He would have flipped this one open. and flipped it over. Lust opens doors and leaves you very, very vulnerable for enemy attacks. I've had that issue, okay? I could say I'm X amount of years away from pornography. This is before cell phones. This is the magazines. And it was there with my stepfather. It was there with my dad. I thought it was normal. That was my excuse, right? I burned them all. They're all gone. Don't want that trash in my life, okay? Now I'm going to, here's my challenge, you two. I got to say a Greek word. Epithomia. Did I say it right? I did not. Epithomia. It is lust in the Greek, okay? And I'm going to break it down. Its meaning is an intense, boiling desire that overruns reason, warps judgment, and pulls the heart away from God. The root word epi means over, beyond, or in excess. And thymos means inner passions, heat, urge, or impulse. So biblically, lust is just wanting something. It's when a desire runs past the boundaries of God's set, that runs past the boundaries that God has set, floods the mind, hijacks the emotions, and tries to become your master. Lust is desire without discipline, desire connected from obedience, desire disconnected from obedience, desire that climbs into the driver's seat of your soul. Jesus didn't say lust was only physical. He said, if you look with epithomia, burning inside, you've already crossed the line in your heart, because lust begins long before the action. Lust is the craving you feed in secret. Lust is the thought you entertain instead of crucifying. I mean, it can go back where if you crucify the flesh, it is a sweet aroma to the Lord, pleasing aroma to the Lord. We should be doing that and crucifying those things. The fantasy that becomes your escape. The hunger that makes you forget who you are. The impulse that tries to replace intimacy with God. Lust is a soul appetite gone rogue. It's the voice that says, just this once. No one will know. You can repent later. This won't affect you. You deserve this. This will make you better. But the Greek word exposes the truth. Epithomia fights to take over your heart. It wants to own you. Goes back to Genesis and the knock on the door. It wants to own you. And we have to learn to do what? We have to overcome it. We have to defeat it. Okay? And here's the raw question. If I accept lust, I'm accepting a master that was never meant to rule me. Lust doesn't stay small. If you give it a little bit of room, it's going to want more, okay? It grows, it demands, it dominates, and it destroys. Like Danielle opened, and we had a conversation of some things she was going to open with, but you don't even know you're straying away, and then you're this far, and you're this far away, and you're like, whoa, because you gave in to impulses, you gave in to lust of the flesh, and it's not always sex, okay? Let's make that clear. I have a lust right now for a house. I want to own a home, okay? In his timing. I don't like, I'm going to go buy this one. I want that one across the street, but it's $300,000. But in his timing, so is that that's a lust under control to a degree. It's a desire that I have that he will hopefully fulfill one day, but we're happy with where we're at because we're content. Contentment's a good thing. Lust doesn't stay small. It grows, it demands, it dominates, it destroys. But the gospel declares you don't have to obey every impulse. You don't have to bow to every urge, and you don't have to live driven by unrestrained desires. Through the Spirit, you can crucify epithomia and choose the desires to align with your identity in Christ. Not because you're strong, but because he's already broke the chains lust tries to put back on. He's already a defeated foe. And we got to be contentment. Let me hear you guys say we are overcomers. Say it again. You have to choose holiness over happiness. Do you hear me? Holiness over happiness. We have to have that relationship because we have spent time at the table with him, and we have to know the difference between, well, this makes me happy. Well, that's not holy. Oh, holiness over happiness. You hear me? Holiness over happiness. You stay connected to the vine, and these are the results. I was praying about this. I watched a YouTube video. I was out in the living room early one morning, late one night. The dog was being weird, so I went out there with him. And you play something. I don't think it was something I was seeking, but it was something that showed up. And it gave me this, and I've been back trying to find it and trying to find it and trying to find it. But I think I got the key from it that I was supposed to grab from it, the little nugget that was in it. It was only like an 8-minute video because I paused, took the dog out, and then it was gone. The way to overcome those desires, because that war that you're battling is where? Romans 8. Romans 8, 13 through 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but by the Spirit you put death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, daughters of God. So, you got to put to death those things of the flesh. You will overcome because you are led by the Spirit. What's it mean by being led by the Spirit? Anybody got GPS? Do you trust it? Oh, that's not the answer I was looking for. In your car, you don't know where you're going. Do you trust your GPS? Okay. Let's just call it whatever, God something system, protection system. And you're trusting the word to get you where you need to go. Right, I'm trusting things in my car because I have to go places for Ivy Tech a lot, and I have no idea how to get there. Right, I am trusting them because if I turn wrong, please make a U-turn. You know, those kind of things. So I'm trusting that GPS to get me to my destination. Our destination is what? Heaven. It's to be in His presence and all this other stuff. All right, I'm ready to deal with all these things. So I'm coming to the table. Me and Jesus having a talk. He's got something else to say, or he's got the same thing to say. I'm finally listening.
I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Thank you. Give Logan a hand. He wants that last room of your heart. All right, and this is the hard thing for most Christians inside the church. This is where we got to be vulnerable. You tell him, this is the room with all my secrets. These are the ones that no one knows about. This is the doubt, the unbelief, the shame, the pride, where I keep control. Okay? He says he knows. He knows, and he still loves you. You fully surrender and give him access. Jesus now owns the whole house. One more time, Logan. You don't have to talk this time. There's a knock at the door. Curiosity. I'm trying to answer it. Jesus answers it for me because he owns the house. And the enemy flees. That's the Christian walk. Thank you, buddy. You learn things as you walk. The mind, the battlefield of the mind. I mean, you can learn that this is interchanging at times. And it's a battlefield, all right? But we have to apply scripture to it. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's hard. For me, that was hard. I wanted control. There are times where Sean still rises up and does what Sean wants. Then you repent. You spend a little time at the table. But some of the stuff that was hurting me and stealing my peace, my joy, my happiness, he answers the door to that. And that's a trial. That's, I don't know, 15 years, 16 years of a battle. And it's worth it. I'm telling you, when you surrender it all, it's so worth it. So I remember a time, and it's been about 6 years, okay? You gave me the opportunity to speak for the first time here. I remember I had a question because I'm really hungry. I'm really thirsty for the word. And I text Sonny and I bring up Matthew 5:6. Like, if this is really going to work, then what am I missing here? And Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Thirst means desire earnestly. I'm desiring these things earnestly. This is a profound moment in my walk, okay? I need this answer, and I need it now. What am I not doing right? What am I not doing right? Do you know what Sonny answers? Why are you leaving the table? You remember that? No, you don't remember it. It was a text message. Why are you leaving the table? Jim Pond will tell you, when you leave stuff at the altar, you leave it at the altar. You don't pick it back up and take it with you. Why even leave the altar? Like, if you make that part of your life and you're doing that, and we want to be this Christian church where all these miraculous things happen, that's what it's going to take, right? It's what it's going to take. We have to have full surrender, all right? So as you can see, there's a table prepared. It's a physical table. Plus, there's the altar. I want to walk through, like, the plane circling. I got a couple more things I want to say, and then we'll pray and see what happens. But this is what it means to walk in the Spirit. There comes a time where every believer must ask themselves a difficult but necessary question. Am I truly walking in the Spirit? Or am I just claiming to, because it's easy to say we follow Jesus. It's easy to wear the title of Christian, but Jesus himself said, they will be known by their fruit. You'll be known by your fruit. So if you took a step back and examined yourself right now, what fruit would you see? Would you see love that forgives even when it's hard? I did not ask Danielle. I was supposed to ask my mom, but I asked my Tuesday group, like, which one? Because you're born with some qualities, right? They're just natural. They're just part of who you are. If I asked her, would I be wrong saying kindness for a fruit? Yeah, like, just naturally. I've always felt like I was kind. I've always given. I would go back to birthday money, Christmas money. I'd take my mom shopping. I always just give. And she says it all the time. You're so kind. You do this. You do that. But I don't know if that's spiritual fruit or it's just who I am. I'll claim it to be whatever it is. I'm naturally kind. Okay? I am. And some of you have that. But don't mistake that for spiritual fruit is what I'm trying to say. Some of you just have natural and you say, well, I have this. Well, maybe you were just born with that quality. Are you putting it into the kingdom practice? How are you doing it in that part? Would you see joy that remains steady even when life is chaotic? Would you see peace that surpasses understanding even in storms? Would you see patience when things don't go your way? Would you see kindness even to those who don't deserve it? And would you see goodness in your character, faithfulness in your commitments, and gentleness in your speech? Self-control in your choices, or would you see the opposite? Would you see frustration instead of patience? Harshness instead of gentleness, bitterness instead of love. Truth is, no one walks in the Spirit perfectly all the time. We all have moments we struggle with our flesh and it rises up and we fall short. But the difference between someone who is truly walking in the Spirit and someone who is just pretending is this: it's growth. Growth. People that are in my inner circle know this. I've shared it with, got fired 4 years ago and I held some bitterness to that person who put that whole plan together to get rid of several people. And I've been dealing with it, and I've dealt with it, I've given it to the Lord, because it'll try to raise its ugly little head, and you don't want it to control you. So me and the Lord have been dealing with it, and I had a confession, because then I got a phone call that this person, and this is what I can tell you I've done. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All right? I have stood on that. I have not done anything. I might have said something to me and Danielle having conversations, what I really thought of her, but I've not really said much about to anybody else. Yeah. Inner circle. She had a stroke here recently. She is in ICU. I'm praying for her, okay? But the first time I heard that, I felt so good. I did. I know, look at me. That's awful. Felt really good about hearing bad news. And then 10 seconds go by and I give it to the Lord. Like, whew, I had to confess to you. I called you. I called you first. She was at work. I didn't want to feel that, right? That is not good. That is not Christ-like. Like, I should have went straight to praying for her. Guess what I did do? Sent her a long prayer, right, via Facebook. I don't know if she's going to open it, her family open it. I don't know. That was me. I failed in that moment for 10 seconds, right? But I rebounded. I rebounded. I brought it. I took that thought captive. Like, that bitterness is now gone, right? You overcame the bitterness and really, truly let it go. A tree that is alive will keep growing, even if it's really, really slow. A tree that is dead will remain the same. All right. Let me pray. Like I said, as you see, there's a table prepared for you. I have gifts for you as well. Maybe we need a reminder. You can't really wear a necklace. I don't think you could wear any of these to work. You might get made fun of. But there are bracelets. I'm free to grab one when you leave. It's got all the fruit. It is a good reminder to look down. Fight Club helped me with Nehemiah scripture that you look down and you got to remember who you are in certain situations, that your brothers are fighting for you no matter what. The more you share, the more open you are, those things happen, where you get a brotherhood of saints and brothers and sisters that lift you up in prayer no matter what. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to leave this open. These are open. But there's things you got to deal with.